Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 205 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual. Today, my guest is the returning champion of referrals, none other than Stacy Brown Randall. Now, Stacy is a friend of mine that I've worked with now for a long time, and I was shocked to discover that the last time that she was literally on the program on the podcast was way back in episode 66, back in June of 2017. Now, we've done some business together and have been presenting a couple of times here locally in the Washington, D.C. area. But to have her back on the podcast today is a real treat. And we're going to cover some old ground, but a lot of new ground on how to build a referral program in your law practice. I mean, she's got some of the best ideas as evidenced by the success that she's had in the referral space. She has her own podcast we'll talk about a little later. She started off with her book. She has a couple of courses to offer. We're going to be doing a webinar together that you'll hear more about. So there's a lot to get from this podcast or this episode. And I'm delighted to have Stacy Brown Randall back with us. If you stay all the way to the end, there's a free offer to one lucky person at the end of the episode. So listen all the way to the end. Until then, none other than Stacy Brown Randall. Stacy Brown Randall, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
No, I am thrilled to be here, Neil. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed by the fact that looking this up in preparation for today's chat, it's been since June of 2017 that you were last on the show. That's 2.5 years ago.
I'm going to try really hard not to hold that against you.
I know, you should. You should hold me accountable to that because, I mean, as much as I talk about you on the show, and as much as we do other things together, to not have you back on the podcast itself, I don't know what I've been thinking. So welcome back.
Well, thank you. And I think we have best of intentions, right? It's always about making the time and putting it on the calendar so it happens.
So for those in the audience that weren't with us 2.5 years ago or who have not taken the time to go back and listen to episode 66, which, by the way, aired in June of 2017, episode 66. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I always like to say that I help people who want to grow their business in the easiest way possible, but that's not a gimmick. The truth is, what I get to do every day, which I love, is I get to help small business owners, solopreneurs, sales professionals learn that it is possible and that there is a way to generate referrals, the best type of prospect in your business, that there is a way to generate referrals and to do that without having to ask for them, without having to pay for them, and without having to be overly promotional and gimmicky. Typically, the people that I work with, they have a couple of things in common. So what they do, they build relationships with their clients. So it's not like going on Amazon and buying a pair of shoes, right? Like, they're actually going to build relationships with their clients and get to know their clients. And there's going to be that know, like, and trust factor as a part of that client relationship. Doesn't mean they'll meet with their clients face-to-face. It just means that they will get to know their clients. Their clients will come to trust them, which is really important when we're trying to generate referrals. And then the other thing is that they typically are selling their expertise. They have knowledge and expertise, usually a lot of acronyms after their name, in terms of they like to be seen because it's true, they are the expert helping their clients and they're typically selling their knowledge and expertise. And the other thing they all have in common is at the end of the day, they want to live in their expert space. Like they're just like, I want to show up and be an attorney. I want to show up and be a CPA. I don't want to show up every day and be seen as that always hustling salesperson. I want the lead generation, the sales part of my business to work easier. And that's where I get to come in. And I get to step in and help people figure out, hey, there's a way to generate referrals without asking. And I've been doing it now for a number of years. I actually started this whole journey because I had a business failure. And it was the lessons I learned from that and then desperately trying to make my second business more successful that I figured out. And I kind of cracked this code and unpacked this process that I teach about how to get referrals without asking so that my second business, to be honest, could survive. I tell folks that I get to do what I do today by sheer necessity and the grace of God, because I couldn't have another business failure. I couldn't go back to corporate America yet again. So I have a little interesting journey as to where I am today, but it's really a lot of fun to spend time showing people how to generate referrals without asking, and that it's actually easier than you think, as you know, Neil, and that it's possible. You just need to know what to do.
You know, it's so timely and important for attorneys, because if you put 100 attorneys in the room and you ask them, what's the number one primary method that you acquire new clients by? I'd venture to say 95% or more would say referrals. I mean, there's not too many saying, oh, it's pay-per-click, or it's distributing flyers or door hangers or advertising on the highway signs. Almost exclusively, attorneys in particular cite referrals as their primary method of marketing their practice. So it's a timely topic and really important for attorneys. But I think we get into a kind of a ball of confusion, because what a referral means to one person is not what a referral means to another. There's all different types of referrals, and some things that we think of as referrals aren't really referrals. So what is a referral?
Yeah, I think that's such a great place to start, because it is. It's the definition that allows us to understand exactly what actions we need to take based on what we ultimately want to receive, which of course in this case is referrals. And you know, you mentioned about the 100 attorneys standing in a room, and if you said, how do you grow your business? It's by referrals. And then if you asked each one of them individually away from those other 100 attorneys and you said, okay, so you know, what process do you have for being able to generate with those referrals? I would say 90-something percent of them would say, we just cross our fingers and we hope that they show up, and they sometimes show up and some things become consistent, some things aren't consistent. And so there's a lot of, yes, we want the referrals, we get the referrals, but there's not a lot of control around what it looks like in terms of their actions.
And yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of them would cite, I go to bar association meetings, right. Once a week, have lunch with a new attorney. I do my best to meet as many attorneys in the city or the practice area that I have or that I work in. It's just kind of really a shotgun scattered approach to how many people can I meet. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're meeting good referral sources, because you haven't really defined what a good referral is.
Right, and I think in that case, right, I call that the spray and pray method.
Okay.
Right. Like
that's much better than shotguns. Spray and pray is exactly right.
Right. We're meeting a bunch of people. We're just hoping somebody will remember us and refer us down the road. And that leaves a lot of referrals to chance. So to answer your question, let's kind of dig into what a referral is and what it's not and how it's different from some of the other terminology that I think people kind of just use interchangeably when they're talking about referrals, because it is really important that just meeting somebody doesn't mean they're going to turn them into a referral source. On the same way, when someone, you know, when you're having conversations with people and you're trying to develop those relationships, when you know what you're looking for as a referral, it also changes your actions, changes your words, and you can approach some of those spray and pray type meetings entirely differently. So a referral, and the best example I can give from a referral perspective is to actually tell you exactly what it looks like, and then I'll break it down into the two key components that it has. So a referral looks like this. 99% of those are going to show up in an email. It may not always. It could show up in a text thread, a group text thread. They could show up because you're both at the same event. But it is someone, and we're going to refer to them as the referral source. It is someone who knows somebody who has a problem, and they're going to connect them to you. So in an email, it looks like this. Hey, Neil, I was talking to Stacy the other day, and she really needs your help. She's definitely got some problems that she needs to work out. And so I told her if she hired you, she'd be in excellent, capable hands. So we have this person, right? Our referral source, we'll call them Bob. And they know that I have a problem, and they know that you, Neil, are the solution to my problem. And so they connect us. And so that's typically what it would look like in an email is like, hey, I'm connecting you to, and I'm saying why I'm connecting you. And that's because a referral has two things that typically other terminology like warm lead, introductions, and word of mouth buzz don't have. And the one thing is a referral has is that there's always a personal connection. You are always being personally connected by the referral source to the prospect. And so I'm talking about this from your perspective, like as the person who's like wanting to receive the referral, right? You're the solution provider. There's always a referral source who knows a prospect and they're going to connect you to them. Because it's when that connection happens that you actually are in the driver's seat of being able to follow up and to know who this prospect is, of course. But that's where the trust remains and is transferred. So the trust is transferred when I'm talking to the person about, yes, Neil can solve all of your problems, right? And then it's continued to be transferred and reiterated when I put that in an email. And so when I go to follow up, I'm like, why am I hearing from this Neil guy? Oh, that's right, because Bob said I should be hearing from this Neil guy. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it looks like from that personal connection piece. The other piece it has to have is that there actually has to be a need identified. So if I'm being connected to somebody, it's because I have a problem. And at that moment, I've decided, okay, I want to solve this problem. I actually want to talk to somebody who can help me fix this problem. I have moved from, you know, just standby mode into buyer's mentality. And it's at that point that I'm actually ready to talk to someone about how do I solve my problem. And so a referral will always have need identified and personal connection, which the other terms, word of mouth buzz, introduction, warm lead, are always lacking one or both of those key pieces.
Yeah. And I love those terms, always have word of mouth, you know, the buzz and a warm lead, because that's what I think we normally think of when we think of referrals, at least in the legal space. Just trying to get our name out there that, you know, as you said, spray and pray. And it's really lacking in any of those characterizations, is lacking in the specifics that make a referral a really valuable, you know, entity.
Yeah, and it's not to say your spray and pray efforts won't eventually, like you know, find somebody that can actually become a great referral source for you. It's sure. Just that it's exhausting, right? So if our goal is to meet as many people as we can, and this is a common myth that people think when it comes to referrals, I'll get referred if I know hundreds and hundreds or thousands and thousands of people or everybody knows me. Yes, you will definitely get some referrals in that way, but you won't get necessarily the best type of referrals that can be consistent and ongoing when you actually develop relationships with the right type of referral sources for your practice. And that's the important piece. It's like, so I would never tell a new attorney or even someone who's been in business, you know, 5 or 10 years practicing or even 15 or 20 years, don't go meet people. Of course, go to your local bar, go out and network, go meet people, you know, stay fresh in that regard, but don't expect to spend every night of the week networking and every lunch over a rubber chicken lunch at some other association meeting and every meeting for coffee at 8 a.m. and think that that is going to bring you some sustainability that you can actually rely on from your referral sources. And if it does, it's because your volume's so great, you're going to be running around like a crazy person, not having a lot of time to do any billable work or the type of work that you do.
And most people will tell you that they get burnt out from doing that. They get discouraged. I don't want to go to one more networking event because it doesn't pay off. I just go out there, and if I'm lucky to, you know, to meet one person or hand out one business card, and you know, this referral marketing business is not really working. I don't know what everybody says that's so great about it. And I can't eat one more piece of chicken, and I'm just sick of coffee. And people get burned out and they stop doing it and they wonder what's going on. And I think, you know, the next step in this process is kind of analyzing Like, who are your referral sources and how do you go about identifying them and making sure that you're spending the time wisely to cultivate and nurture those sources?
And that really, really is the key. I mean, when I teach my process to folks, I always say, we're going to start with the identification of your referral sources. And a lot of folks can identify their referral sources. And I'll walk you through the process of exactly what that looks like to identify referral sources. But then some of us end up with a place where like, I need more. So then it's about how do we identify what I call soon to be referral sources as well. So I think it would be great if we kind of dove into both of those parts, as you said. But let me just first start with defining a referral source, because I think people think it can only be one or two things. And there's actually four types of referral sources. Some are more valuable, in my opinion, than others, but there are four types where you may find that you're receiving referrals from. So the first, of course, is your clients, right? Definitely not every attorney out there is going to receive referrals from their clients, but many will. I find in the criminal and civil side of the attorneys that I work with, they don't always receive referrals from the clients. But on the other side of the legal space, you know, intellectual property or estate planning or business law, they definitely will get referrals from their clients. So that's the first way. The second way is centers of influence. And so there's so many ways to label this as a center of influence. It's just the term I use. A center of influence is somebody who knows what you do, so they understand, like, who would actually be the right type of person to send to you. So they know what you do. They don't do what you do. So there's no competitive overlap. And of course, then they also come across people that they could refer to you, which means COIs is a subset of your overall network. You may know 1,000 people in your community, but that doesn't mean all of them really know what you do or don't do what you do or come across people that could actually refer to you. A COI has the trifecta, effect of all three. And so for attorneys, a lot of COIs are other attorneys. And so if they don't get a lot from their clients, maybe they'll get them from other COIs like attorneys. But that's not the only type of COI. You know, attorneys, of course, is one type of COI, but for some, it could be CPAs or financial advisors or other service providers. And so from that perspective, it's a little bit about figuring out who are your referral sources when it comes to your COIs, the types of COIs. But first, we have our clients. Second, we have our centers of influence. Third, we have what I call just family and friends. And this typically happens when you're starting a business and people don't, sometimes they don't like it when I say it like this, but it's the ultimate truth. When you're starting a business, people, like, if they're behind you and supporting you and you're starting your law practice, like, they want to see you succeed and they kind of feel sorry for you because they want to see you succeed and they don't want you to this to be a mistake. And so sometimes your family and friends will go out of their way to send people to you, but they never continue unless you have a friend or a family member who's really also fits the same identification as a COI. Right. So for instance, I had one student in my Growth by Referrals program, and he had reached out in our Facebook group and he had said, my aunt refers me all the time. I'm like, are they good referrals? And he was like, yes. I'm like, then your aunt may be family, but she's actually a strong referral source. I think he was a realtor. Maybe she was a mortgage broker. I can't remember. It could have been the reverse of that. But the idea there is that friends and family can refer you. You have to decide if there's longevity in that, in receiving those referrals, right? Like, if your mom knows somebody who needs a will and hasn't ever done one, but she's never going to be able to send you anybody else other than her very best friend that she's had since childhood, well, then mom is a great referral source for that one time, but she's not really a referral source. So there's the category of family and friends, but whether or not they will produce on an ongoing, consistent basis is really a judgment call for you knowing who your friends and family actually are. Sure. And then, of course, the fourth type of referral sources is strangers. And this one is always kind of, people are like, what? A stranger can refer me? Yeah, because you're not a stranger to them. They just happen to be a stranger to you. So sometimes, the longer we've been in business and the more well-known we are in certain circles or areas of town or areas of law, right? Our reputation starts to precede us. Hopefully a good one, right? A good reputation. Right. So people know about you. They know about people that you've helped. They know about people that you worked with. You don't know who they are, but your reputation and your buzz factor and just your brand reputation is kind of out there in the marketplace. And so you can become known and then people can trust knowing that reputation of yours and decide to refer to you, even though they don't know you, they've already decided for whatever reason to trust you because of how someone else talked about you, or because they read an article and they really liked how you handled the article, or they saw how you tried one of your cases, or whatever it is. They may be a stranger to you. You're not a stranger to them. The hard thing is that when those people refer to you, they're usually not the ones connecting you. They're not connecting you to the prospect. They're doing word of mouth buzz. They're telling someone, go hire Neil. I've never used him myself, but he is amazing. Go hire Neil. And then if that person is really motivated, that prospect, they'll reach out to you and be like, hey, so-and-so told me I should reach out to you. And you'll be like, who is so-and-so?
Today's episode is brought to you by the team at Spotlight Branding. If you've been throwing money at Google and you haven't been happy with the casework you're attracting, it's time to switch up your marketing strategy. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of legal marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel and push you to spend thousands on pay-per-click ads. Instead, they work with solo and small law firms to stay top of mind with your network to increase referrals, which we all agree are the best kind of clients. To help show you how to do that, they are giving away a free copy of their new book, The Ultimate Solo Lawyer's Guide to More Referrals and Better Clients. This book is a great tool for entrepreneurial-minded attorneys like the listeners of The Law Entrepreneur because it provides a framework to help you build a well-oiled marketing machine that positions you as an expert in your field and creates consistent referrals for your business. The Spotlight Branding team believes in this way of marketing so much that they are giving away free copies of their new book to lawyers across the country. To claim your copy, just go to spotlightbranding.com/guide and fill out a short form with your contact information. Spotlight Branding, a better way to market your law practice. I've had a little bit of that personally in the intersection between the podcast and my law practice. So people have heard about what I do in my law practice on my podcast. And I've had people reach out to me, hey, so-and-so referred me after listening to you on your podcast. So it's the same kind of thing. A stranger was connected to me.
Absolutely the same. And I would get, when I used to be a productivity and business coach, I would have people who would know that I do these little, I had these little niche areas of my coaching practice that I did, and I would get referrals and I'd be like, I don't know who that person is. And they'd be like, well, they know you because they told me to call, which was great. Here's the decision you get to make. When you're referred somebody by a stranger, if the person, the prospect who's referred to you, right, and they actually do reach out to you and say, hey, stranger person told me that I should reach out to you. And you're like, I don't know who that person is. You have a choice at that moment. You can decide, hey, they could be great for future referrals. I'm going to reach out to them, thank them, take them coffee, try to cultivate a relationship so that I can be top of mind and receive more referrals. Or in some cases, it's really hard sometimes to find them.
Sure,
I know
because
I have a book out there, Generating Business Referrals Without Asking, my book is actually referred to people. Then people read the book and then they join my Facebook community and then maybe eventually they end up buying my program. I'm like, how'd you hear about me? And they'll be like, oh, my boss gave me your book. Or another attorney, I had an attorney out in Utah who said, I don't know, another attorney told me that they found your podcast and read your book and they said I should do the same. Yeah. And so that's how they like landed right in my world. I'm like, so I'll always ask, well, who was that friend attorney of yours or that boss of yours who recommended me? Because I will always try to reach out, at least in a handwritten thank you note, to see if I can turn that stranger into an actual COI. I will tell you though, a lot of times those thank you cards come back to me because it's not as easy as some people think. Maybe it is in your world. In my world, it's not to find people when all you may have is a name to go on and an area of a country, right? Or a state, maybe a city. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But what we do is we don't try to build a system around turning family and friends and strangers into referral sources. We allow that to just be gravy and awesome when it's happened. If we identify that a family or friend or a stranger could like be flipped into a COI, then awesome. We definitely want to do that and turn them into a COI. They can refer more, but we plan and we build a process around our clients and our centers of influence as potential referral sources.
You know, let me circle back just for a second here to talk about clients as referral sources, past clients as referral sources. You know, I find a lot of times attorneys are notorious for forgetting about their clients once the legal matter is concluded. Mm-hmm. Maybe send them a Christmas card or holiday card at the end of the year. Maybe they send them a birthday card because they have that in their client management program or practice management system. But they don't systemically reach out to past clients. And some of that's volume based. If you're doing a practice where you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients a year, that might be a little more difficult. But one of the things just I'll share with you and with our audience and that I did at the end of 2019, I shared with you before, that I did a deep dive in my past clients and I identified all of those clients who were kind enough to actually have left me a review on my website or on the Google review site. And I thought, well, that's a phenomenal place to start cultivating your past clients as a referral source, starting with the ones that have already said nice things about you.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that alone, I mean, I remember we had that conversation about it's a great first starting point to identify who should be your referral sources because it's not 100% of your clients. 100% of your clients will not refer you, even though we all have the actual brain mechanism to want to help and refer other people. We don't all use it in the same way. So I tell folks, let's just start looking at the 20 to 30% of our clients who could be our referral sources. And if you don't have clients that have referred you, but to your point, you have clients that have left reviews, that is a great place, or giving you testimonials, that is a great place to start with the cultivation of them. And I think sometimes people overlook that that's an easy step. Like there's other things we can talk about that are a little bit harder.
Well, sure, yeah. But I think it's so painfully easy and obvious that people don't do it. You know, they think, oh, I already got my testimonial, or I already got my rating and my review from this client. So they already know about me. I don't need to really cultivate that relationship. I need to look deeper into the other past clients. When in point of fact, it's just the opposite. You need to cultivate that relationship even further.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, you know, it's interesting when I walk people through the process of identifying their referral sources, the first thing we do is we will look back at the people who have referred you in the past. Mm-hmm. And that is a process I teach. Because I think it's so important for anybody to say, I actually want to put a process in place to get more referrals. If I can get them to do the work to look back and identify who's referred you in the past, and I outline this all in chapter 8 in my book, but if they can look back and they can be like, okay, let me identify who's referred me in the past, it gives them some really important data in their business to identify who are their existing or even past referral sources, but it also will reveal some gaps maybe in who should be referring them that isn't. And when we go through a process to be like, okay, so you have your referral sources. Some of you have lots. Some of you don't have a lot. Some of you have referral sources who've referred you in the last year or two, which we get to call those active. And anybody before that, of course, we don't refer to as active. You have to still recultivate them. But a lot of people, once they identify their previous referral sources, they're kind of left with this idea of like, well, I need more, right? A lot of people do. Some people, depending on the type of business you run, they may only ever give you one referral a year. But once you're tracking it and there's benchmark data, you realize, wow, they're good for one referral a year. So do you need 12 cases a year or do you need 52 cases a year? And if you want those to come from referral, then obviously we need referral sources to meet that need. If you have one referral source who sends you double digit cases a month, okay, right? But that's a golden goose and amazing and that's awesome. And we want everyone to have that, but it's not possible. So it's looking at who's referred you in the past because that will leave clues for who could be identified as other good referral sources. But at the same time, when we're looking at identifying, hey, I need more referral sources, exactly where you started, you went, like, if we're going to look at identifying potential referral sources in our clients and our centers of influence, the first thing we do with our clients is who's told you they've enjoyed working with you? Who's left a review? Who's giving you a testimonial, right? Who has told you in the past that they actually told someone about you and how they should hire you, but it just didn't go anywhere because that was word of mouth buzz and you didn't know how to flip it into a referral. You thought it was a referral, but it wasn't. So you didn't really know how to pursue it. That's the first step, that identification of the, okay, you know who some of your referral sources are, great. If you need more, most people do, how do you identify the soon-to-be referral sources? And exactly what you did with identifying, looking back at clients who had referred you or clients who had left a review is a great place to start and the easiest place to start.
Well, I think that's where the rubber meets the road here in terms of expanding your referral network. And then And again, I just speak from my own experience that it wasn't that difficult for me to identify clients that I wanted to continue to foster a relationship with and expand upon, and even centers of influence that have been beneficial to my practice that I wanted to develop. But when I said, I need to develop some new sources because, well, for one, whatever reason, either I'm not getting the same number of referrals as I was, or I want more, or what have you. The question of how do I go about attracting or identifying new potential soon to be sources? Do I look in the same category of folks, or do I enter a new different type of center of influence domain? And if that's the case, gee, how do I break into that? And I think that's a challenge.
I think you've identified the one thing that will stop people from, once they get to that place of they're thinking exactly what you just said, and they're like, well, I don't know what to do moving forward. It is definitely a roadblock that people will hit. The good news is that there's absolutely a process that you can follow for both sides of it. So the client, let's be honest, identifying clients to become referral sources is actually the easiest, because there's markers that you can look for that are very much more apparent than just in your centers of influence. So if we look at it from that client perspective, we're like, okay, we can understand how to identify them, right? And here's the thing I would tell you, how we identify clients that could be referral sources, or centers of influence that could be referral sources, how we identify them is different, but how we cultivate them and turn them into referral sources is similar. So we've talked about kind of like, okay, what are the markers that we look for if we're looking to turn clients into referral sources? We've got some low-hanging fruit, the easy way to start, right? And we're looking for the 20 to 30%, right? We're not looking for thousands and thousands of clients in this case. And so again, like we said, if they've left a review, given you a testimonial, told you they talked about somebody about you, or just have expressed that they loved working with you, right? Those are some easy markers to identify. On the center of influence side though, we have to pay attention. I think this works best when we look back a little bit to like, who are the centers of influence types in the past that have referred you? Because that will give us some easy markers to know, okay, so wow, I have this one CPA who is a great referral source, but what would it look like if I had two or three CPAs? Don't need any more than that, but what would it look like if I had two or three? So then you can kind of know, okay, so one of the things I'm looking for here is another one or two CPAs to turn into referral sources. Or let's say you look at your referral sources and you're like, great, they're all other attorneys. And if any of them retire or move out of state or decide not to practice law anymore, I'm in trouble, right? And so you may look at your list of who's referred you in the past and saying, I need to diversify. In that case, you've got to spend a little bit of time of figuring out who comes across people who have the problems you solve. The reality of it is, in some cases, there are a small group of different types of people who come across people who would need what you do. So it's not like everybody and anybody can turn into a referral source. But so it is paying attention to, okay, I'm a business attorney, right? And if I'm helping people set up their LLCs or their S-corps or whatever it is, getting their business documents done, their partnerships agreements done, right? If that's my ideal client, obviously, are business owners or people who are starting businesses or started businesses and did not have all their stuff in place and now they need it, their stuff in place. Who are they going to go talk to when they're trying to decide that, yeah, it's probably time now that I hire an attorney, right? And so that conversation, just how you ask yourself, okay, who is my ideal client? And when they have the problem that I solve, who do I think they go talk to? Sometimes you can ask them. If you've got a couple of friends or buddies who own small businesses and you can, and you're a small business attorney, you can be like, hey, before you decided to hire an attorney, who did you talk to about which attorney you would hire and that you needed an attorney? And they're like, oh, I talked to my CPA. Right? Oh, actually, you know what? My financial advisor brought up the conversation. And so you can unpack some other places to identify what that looks like. It is a little bit of work though. And Neil, you know, I'm always straightforward with, some things take work, but the benefit comes on the back end once you have the stuff in place. So identifying your centers of influence, it does help to look back and realize, wow, I don't have any variety and I probably need some. Okay, then who do my clients talk about first when they have the problem I solve? Who are they talking about it to first? And then looking and saying, well, I have like one or two great referral sources in this category. what would it look like if I had two or three in that same category? So you look at it from both perspectives, and that helps you to decide, do you need diversification, or actually do you need to up a couple in your numbers and a couple of spaces that you're currently already in?
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. You can run the risk of diluting your message in one particular category of centers of influence if you try to gain three or four other types of centers of influence instead of concentrating on what is working. And again, I'll put it in real terms, in terms of my practice. You know, a lot of estate planning attorneys cite financial planners as a perfect center of influence. Deals with the same kind of clients. It's a mutually synergistic relationship, yada, yada, yada. But then should I be looking then at other professional service providers like CPAs or doctors or dentists or chiropractors or what have you? Should I try and branch out in those areas, or should I stay concentrated in the financial planners? You know, it's a question that you have to kind of analyze carefully.
It is, and I think the best place to start that analyzation is really when you look back at who's been referring you or who have you received referrals from, because I always think, if you've received referral, if you've had referral success in the past and people have referred you, that's going to leave clues to who could be some great referral sources for you moving forward. But then again, right, after you've kind of looked at the past of who could refer or maybe need to expand, right, the process that we follow when we need to expand and be like, okay, yeah, so all attorneys have referred me in the past, but I really think I need other service providers. Then the process starts with, okay, so do you know any CPAs? Do you know any dentists? Do you know any doctors personally, right? And trying to figure out, could you leverage a conversation with them to help you figure out when and where does a doctor actually refer an attorney, right? And have those kind of like intel gathering conversations, or do you go straight to cultivating a relationship with them in a very specific way where you can actually start to be able to receive referrals from them? And remember, when we start that process, this is the long game, and I need people playing the long game, because you're not going to walk into that doctor and be like, yo, doc, what's up? Give me five referrals.
Right.
Like that's, I'm never going to teach you that. There are definitely people out there who will teach you that. That is not me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to teach you how to cultivate that relationship with that person, how to plant referral seeds with that person so that you can bring them along to know that, hey, wow, Neil really cares about me. Right. And that's awesome. And there's ways that you can do that. You can show you actually care. And please, for the love, you actually have to care. Like, you have to be authentic and this has to be genuine.
You can't fake it till you make it?
No, not in this case. Not in this case. You actually have to be genuinely, like, I always tell folks, somebody always asks me, they're like, who's best for your program? And I always will tell them, and I'm like, who's worst for your program? And I'm like, the people who are dead inside. Yeah. Because they don't actually care about other people, right? So in this case, you actually have to be genuine. You can't fake it till you make it. But it's about cultivating a relationship with someone. And that's a process. And what I teach people is, okay, you've decided I need doctors to become my referral sources. I don't have any previous doctors that referred me. I think doctors would be a good referral source for me, right? Then we're going to identify a couple. Then we're going to, you know, and then there's this process that starts. We're going to identify a couple and then we're going to try to meet with them. And there's a couple of different ways of making that happen, depending on, do you know somebody who knows them or not? And then you're going to start the relationship of how you take care of them and how you try to help them in an ongoing way. And then you're going to plant referral seeds through that process where they start thinking about you from referrals without really knowing that's what you're doing or that's what how they're thinking about you. And then once they give you that first referral, boom, they've now become a referral source, right? And then hopefully you have a process in place to nurture and take care of your existing referral sources while you're trying to develop new ones. So the process is they fit one, you know, they kind of stack one on top of the other. They kind of fit in like a whole circle if you think about it in that way. That, and then this just becomes a way that we take care of the people who take care of our business because they refer new clients to us. And that is so much more fun. And you know, because you've been through the program and experienced it, so much more fun to take care of your referral sources than it is to go to get another rubber chicken lunch or another 1800th coffee with a stranger.
That's the most fun part for sure. But I got to tell you, you're asking a lot for attorneys. You're asking them to be genuine and caring. Seems like it's almost the antithesis of what most people think in terms of an attorney.
Not the attorneys I know. The attorneys I know that have gone through my process and had amazing success, not just you, but other attorneys. They are extremely genuine, lovely.
Exactly. I'm exaggerating to make a point.
Yes, of course.
But there are a bunch of folks out in the audience are listening to this and saying, I get all that, but Neil, what's the magic bullet? I'm going through this whole podcast. I'm waiting to hear what is the magic bullet in terms of getting referrals?
Well, the reality of it is there isn't one.
There you go.
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to disappoint anyone that listened to this interview and is now like, okay, great. Now she just disappointed me. But the truth is,
no, I just wanted to be explicit about that because you're right. There is no magic bullet. So if you're waiting for that, you've wasted your time. You need to pay attention.
You have wasted your time, and we should have started with that. And I'm sorry to say that this will take a little bit of work. You know, referrals only come from relationships, and relationships are only maintained by connecting with people. And so you got to be willing to do that. But most people that, you know, my students are in my GBR program, most of them, they have a couple of dozen of referral sources, not hundreds. So this isn't a hard task for them to do. And then because we're not stalkers and we're not trying to, like, you know, reach out and stay top of mind to our referral sources every month, you're not doing, you know, multiple things a month or even 12 things a year. Like, it's really, there is a way that we've crafted it to make it, like, you know, it's going to have the ROI that you want, and it's going to also be able to leverage your time as well. But again, it's still work. And there isn't a silver bullet. And that is because at the end of the day, remember, referrals come from relationships because the person who refers you is willing to put their reputation and their relationship with the prospect on the line when they refer you. And that's just not the same thing as a pay-per-click. It's just completely different of a type of prospect and a type of expectation. And people guard that. And so you have to make sure you're worthy of it. I believe everybody deserves referrals. If you do great work, I believe you deserve referrals, but that doesn't mean you're owed them. You actually have to be willing to do the work to receive them.
And the flip side of that as well, particularly when we talk about our centers of influence being other attorneys, in the legal community, there's an undercurrent of reciprocity expectation. And if that's how you're defining the relationship, I'm giving them referrals, but they're not giving referrals back to me, then maybe you're looking at it incorrectly.
Yes, I would completely agree. I always tell folks, this isn't about what you can give them because of what they give you. I mean, the truth is there are some people who need to refer to you because that's the right thing to do by their client. Okay, we got this problem. I need you to, I'm not the attorney for you. We need to get you the right attorney. And that's how they should look at it from that perspective. It's not about because you refer to someone else, they should refer to you. If you're looking at it from that perspective, your results will never be, I would say, as healthy as they could be. And they will definitely, and you'll have resentment doing it. Because the truth is, I remember when I was a productivity coach, productivity and business coach, I would get a lot of referrals to business owners, which was my niche, but to small business owners, I would get a lot of referrals to them by financial advisors because financial advisors had an interest in their business running better, right? At the end of the day, you maybe need some business coaching. I know a great one, right? And so I would get a ton of referrals. The truth is, I don't know enough people with money to ever refer back to all those financial advisors all the times that they referred to me. But following my process, I did find ways to take care of them and let them know how much I appreciate those referrals and plant referral seeds so that I could always stay top of mind to receive more.
Sure. Well, now you've alluded to it a few times. You've mentioned it a couple times explicitly. So let's wrap this up by telling the audience what they can do to further develop their referral system and how they can do so using the teachings of Stacey Brown Randall.
So definitely, I mean, obviously I have my Growth by Referrals program that you, Neil, are a member of. And you, yep. I think you actually know a number of the attorneys that are in the program as well. Their attorneys are not the only folks in the program, but there are definitely a number of attorneys all across the country that are in the program. We're actually in 8 different countries now. We just added, we had a realtor from Singapore who actually just joined recently. So we're in 8 different countries. But I do have a program. It's called Growth by Referrals. There is an independent study level and there is a VIP level if you want to work more closely with me. But I always find before someone says, yeah, let me just dive in and check out, you know, the page that tells me how much things are going to cost and what's involved, is just introducing you to more of the stuff that I can teach you. And you and I have a webinar coming up that would be a great opportunity for folks to be a part of to kind of learn more about this concept of, okay, what does it look like? What do I need to know? What actions do I need to be taking? And what do I need to know if I actually want to start generating more referrals? In my world, everybody starts out at 1 of 3 levels, typically because you take a referral, it's called the Referral Ninja Quiz. When you first usually learn about me, whether it's through my book or the podcast or just like this interview, I always encourage folks to take a specific quiz. It's called the Referral Ninja Quiz. It's 9 simple questions. It's at referralquiz.com, but just take the quiz and it'll tell you, are you a Referral Ninja beginner, in training, or master? My goal is to get everybody to the master level. And so when I do webinars, like when we have coming up, when I do a webinar, it's all about, okay, how do you become, if you're a beginner or in training, how do you become a referral ninja master? And I'm going to show the roadmap of exactly what that looks like. I think it's more important for people to figure out what's involved before they decide they're ever going to open up their wallets.
Well, we'll have the notes or the reference to the webinar in the notes there, but I'm going to also plug a couple of other things other ways you can connect with SBR. She has her own podcast, ladies and gentlemen, called The Roadmap to Growth to Grow Your Business, and that's available on every place you can find podcasts, and I know it's a great listen. So it's on my standard rotation. So you should be listening to Stacey's podcast as well. And she mentioned it once before, I think maybe twice, she wrote a book. What's the name of that book, Miss?
Yes, it is Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. It actually came out a year after you and I did our first interview. So that's why we never talked about it on the first one. I was probably just stressing out writing it when we were doing our interview last time. But yes, Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. And you can buy that wherever books are sold.
So I'm going to sweeten the pot even further. If you go to the page here, the episode page for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur, and you write a comment, first one to write a comment, I'm going to send them a free copy of the book.
Awesome.
I believe in that so much. So go to the podcast page, write a comment there. If you're the first one, you're going to get a copy of Stacey's book, courtesy of The Law Entrepreneur. So Stacey, thanks ever so much for joining me again today. I promise I'm not going to wait 2.5 years to have you back on the program. We'll get this webinar publicized here and on the calendar shortly and let everybody know about it. And I can't wait to see you and talk to you again.
That sounds awesome. Thanks again, Neil.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Jurisdiction, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.